Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Welcome to Point of View, and thank you so much for being with us, and thank you to Gugu. She'll be back tomorrow at 6. Well, my name is Pimelo Motene. We are going to be together until 10 today, and we are going to be looking at the Chief Albert Luthuli's inquest. I think that we really, really need to take time to go through what's been happening there. It started yesterday, and I have some audio that I think is important for us to listen to today, so we'll do that a little bit later on, but I want to start here. Unfortunately, news breaking that a student, alleged student at the university, the Walter Sisulu University, passed away. That's obviously at the Mthatha campus. Lots of confusion around what would have happened there. I've got on the line Special Projects Director at the Walter Sisulu University, Mr. Ndeko Nangulu. Thank you so much for making time for us this evening. Thank you so much for talking to us. Good evening.
Good evening, Pumelo, to you and your viewers of Kaya FM.
Obviously, we've had lots of reports about what happened. Just from the perspective of the university, what led to the altercation where the student passed away?
I think the simple way to put it is that in the early hours, we were informed that students have gathered and are removing the security across all posts in the university, wearing balaclavas, throwing stones and petrol bombs, and they were successful in removing the security. Students then went to the staff quarter of one of our staff from Tata, at which then reports are they attacked the staff and the family. If why they were doing that, Kumelo, it's really something we're still trying to get into. Because normally when students have got issues, they write memorandum, protest during the day, demand responses, which in this case, none of that happened. They woke up early and did what they have done. What we can though link this action into, which is just from our side as management, it is that 2-3 weeks ago, students had protested in Tata campus, at which the management acted. Their reason for protest, and as per the clips we've seen today, is still the same. They are protesting against a resident rule that says they cannot sleep with people overnight in the residences. Visitors must leave at 10. And senior students who have partners who they want to sleep over are protesting and have been protesting over this rule for a month or 3 weeks now. And previously in 3 weeks when they were doing this, they ended up beating first year students who refused to join this protest. That's the only thing we know, because from the videos, the leadership even said today they are fighting over rules that are not keeping them well. And that rule we know is the one that says visitors by 10 o'clock must leave residences that they don't stay into, and students are preferring to have them anytime, which on the other hand inconveniences the same student. So the complaint or the rule is meant to protect the same student that they are sharing bedrooms with. That's what we know, Pumelo, as what could have led to this and what we were told and also saw had happened early this morning.
Of course, we don't know for sure if this is related to what happened. As you're saying, you are speculating as management that this is maybe the reason why they went to the resident of the residence manager. What was the university's plan, though, in dealing with the issue of, dealing with the 10 o'clock, 10 p.m. curfew for visitors? If it's a month-long issue, what was the university's response to that?
No, we responded when we met with students, leadership, that is, across, which are from various campuses, because this was part of those demands. And we explained amongst ourselves, meaning the management and students, that this rule cannot be relaxed in the university. It is meant to protect the students amongst themselves, because the bigger number of our residences are shared bedrooms as per the DHET norms and standards. Single rooms are just a small fraction, less than 10%. So if you allow students to sleep with the partners in a room where some other students are also sleeping, it becomes an abusive issue. And someone wants to study, they can't study because other people are sleeping together. So we were clear that that rule cannot be relaxed by the university. And it's not a rule of the resident manager. It's a universal rule that has been implemented in Butterworth, implemented in East London, in Queenstown, and in other residences in Tata outside the 2-3 that are fighting it. So it's a general rule that is also an old rule that has been there, explained, understood by SRC, and everybody went back understanding. That's why university was back to normal until this morning, where people, without reporting to anyone, without complaining to anyone, just went to this process. And we are leading it, Kumelo, because students in the clip on the news said they are unhappy with that rule. That's why they went to residence manager. So that's why we are linking to what was an issue 3 weeks before, which was addressed through senior executive management and student leadership.
Were there disciplinary processes where you dealt with the fact that the senior students did not, at least intimidated the junior students, the first-year students?
Yes, the disciplinary processes are underway because, I'm not sure if you've seen this, a parent had to go in the university at night to rescue his two sons that were being beaten by these students. And that was brought to the management by security and by the parents. And such students are going through the process of disciplinary being served and going to appear in DC and all that process. So, yes, there are disciplinary measures in place that are meant to serve and deal with the matter of these students. I can say maybe it needs to be speed up and it needs to be built intense because it looks like students are getting out of hand and doing things that injure other students in the process while demanding something that really nobody understands.
So let's talk about the actual incident, as you said, in the early hours of the morning. What actually happened, according to you?
According to what we know as of this time, students went to the house or the residence of the manager, meaning in his house where he stays with his family. Based on the report, the wife of the resident manager came out to tell students the husband is not here. And to the report of the police, the wife was attacked, was beaten in the head with heavy iron or stones. We're not sure what was used, but according to the report, it's a very heavy thing. And there was alteration in that space between the family and the students. Also, what we can confirm is a shooting happened in that alteration, of which now we don't know at this moment where the shooting came from. It's what the university and the police are investigating. In that shooting, two students were injured, which were said to be minor injuries because they were also released during the day by the hospital. A person who was also there was then shot, and we were reported that the person died. And when we got the details of the person who died in that scenario, we also were able to verify that person not to be a student, while the other two who were also injured, minor, as per the report, were students. That's what we know. If where that shooting came from and who made the shooting, for now, it's something we are not having facts into. It's something both the university and the police are trying to investigate and go to the bottom of it and find the facts on it.
So was the residence manager actually present when all of this happened?
Yes, the residence manager was present with his wife and the two kids that were there. They were all rescued by police around about 11. The wife badly injured. The kids, not much. They were just abducted by students and they were recovered by police. The residence manager did not, at least to what we know, get to be beaten physically by the student. But the wife was badly injured in high care, and the student, the kids, were taken. So he was there because he was then removed or rescued by the police, who came in to rescue the family entirely. And the car was banned, so he was there.
Is the resident manager meant to be, you know, in the possession of a gun, according to the kind of duties that he's responsible for?
A straight answer, according to the duties, no. Meaning the duties doing or employed for in the university, he is not given or expected to have a gun. But what we cannot answer to Pumelo is, as a person, because there are rules that and laws that guide what the people can have gun and cannot. So we really can't answer if, as a person, did he have or have not a gun, because that remains a personal thing that can be verified by other authorities. But as per his official position in the university, and he doesn't have a gun allocated to him, neither does he have a requirement that he must possess a gun for the job he's doing.
You say that the person was not a student. Was the person a student in 2024?
Yes.
That person was a student in 2024. Well, I've got to thank you so much for your time, and thank you for giving us those details. The Special Projects Director at the Walter Sisulu University in Umtata, Ndiyakholwa Ngula. Thank you so much for that. And I also want to bring in a SASCO representative, at Eastern Cape Provincial Convener, Zukile Ndoziya. Thank you so much, Zukile. Just maybe just correct the surname for me.
This is
Toya. Okay. Thank you so much for talking to us. Zukile, I don't know, you know, how much you've been able to gather about the incident and what information the students have been able to give you.
Yes. Thank you very much for granting us this opportunity. And fellow greetings to your listeners also in charge. First of all, before I would like to do my opening statement and probably get to engage of what actually happened throughout the incident, I would just like to express my deepest condolences to the family, friends, and classmates of Lisonke Ngoleko, who is a student whose life caused to be cut short by an arrogant threat manager. Thank you very much. So I'm not sure if you want me to properly get to explain what actually happened throughout the whole incident, because as I was listening to the university representative, it is quite not sure what he's talking about. Probably he's talking about a different death scenario, because with what I know, with what I've experienced as I've engaged with students, what the university is saying is not what actually happened.
Okay, tell us what you've been told has happened.
Yes, with trial and proper engagement that we have managed to do with students of Walter Sisulu. What has happened is that students were complaining based on several letters of saying that the conditions that they are currently facing in the residence in which they are residing in, it is not conducive for them to excel academically.
And what are those conditions, if you can maybe just elaborate on that?
One, students were complaining about the safety and security of the residence. In that residence, you have a security who gets to be a male security who goes around knocking in doors of females who are residing in that very same residence. In that residence, they are complaining about the conditions that are currently faced, saying that they don't even understand how the residence got to be accredited by NSFAS for them to be able to reside in. You speak about Wi-Fi, you speak about all other conditions, which makes it very much uncomfortable for students to be able to study in that certain environment.
Okay, hold on. I'm a bit confused. They are unhappy that the security goes knocking at their doors in the evening.
Yes.
That's the one thing.
Yes. They're unhappy about the Wi-Fi.
What about the Wi-Fi? Are they unhappy with?
Yes, the connectivity of the Wi-Fi does not allow them to be able to study properly.
Okay.
They're also complaining about the cleanliness of the residence, that the residence cleanliness is not probably the one that they should be experiencing as a person student of the university.
Okay. So,
but what mm-hmm. became the most concern is the one of the male security who goes around knocking in doors of female residences. I'm not sure why he was knocking in doors of female residences. And students felt as if they are not safe. What they were asking for, it was very simple to say that, can the rent manager probably try and allocate
a female security in which female students can be comfortable around and won't go around knocking in their doors, making them feel uncomfortable in their residences in which they have paid for.
Okay.
One.
Have they raised these issues before?
Yes. They have been raising issues with the rent manager. But the rent manager kept on blue-ticking those students. Because what you need to understand is that students are not bored. They engage in academical activities throughout the whole year. It is not possible for students to just go to a rent manager, do a very crucial strike based on autism.
Why did the students not escalate it? Why did they decide to specifically target the
yes,
residence manager?
That's where I'm coming. I'm saying that students were raising these issues with the residence managers and relevant stakeholders of saying that we are not cheap. The residence manager kept on blue-ticking these students. Students decided to do a very peaceful march. They marched peacefully. They wanted to engage with the residence manager because the residence manager kept on looting them, not paying much attention to the incident with the high current happening in the residence which is managing. What happened is that when students got there, they wanted to speak directly to the residence manager. The residence manager's wife came out. Students spoke to the residence manager's wife. The residence manager's wife told students that the residence manager is currently not present in the premises. Students said, no, how about we give him a call? He must come here and talk and engage as a race student of saying that one, I'm meeting with one, two, and three, and four. How can we probably find the best solution to answer to this matter? What then happened, students were just singing, doing an extremely peaceful march. No one was hurt. No wife was assaulted. It is all just a lie. The race managers decided to come out and fire out shots to students, which we come to a question of saying, how does it happen that in a gun-free campus, we have a res manager who has a firearm, and the security of the campuses never saw it. Even the management never saw it. It is stated clearly that it is a gun-free campus. Guns are not allowed. Then you see you have a res manager who is currently present in a residence with a firearm, a live firearm, and still shooting a student. And the university is not actually confined to matter. The shooting came from the rent manager. It's a lie to say that they don't know where the shooting came from. It is the rent manager that shot those students. It is Mr. Mampana that shot those students, which one gets to be unfortunately deceived and others get to be injured. It is a total lie.
Zukile, let's be reasonable. Were you at the march?
Yes, I was not at the march because I'm a producer.
All right, I accept that. And that's exactly the point. Exactly.
Yes.
That's exactly the point. How are you so sure the march was peaceful? Let me just ask the question. You have footage of students who are wearing balaclava. How is that peaceful? Is there no...
Yes.
You would know. As a representative of SASCO, let me finish my question. As a representative of SASCO, that there are channels. If the residence manager, as you're saying, was blue ticking the students, clearly there is another way to escalate the matter. To go to the residence of the residence manager and intimidate the family, how is that peaceful?
No, ma'am. Listen, there was zero intimidation to the residence manager.
But you know that the wife was hurt. I mean, you can't say that's not true.
No. The incident of the ward probably might have happened after students were shot. And it's a lie to say that it is students that actually banned the cousin and assaulted the manager. No students banned that. What has been raised is that there were also concerned community members who are currently present who get to prove and accelerate the incident, but it was never students who assaulted anyone.
Okay, then it's fine. Why did they not escalate? Why go to his home? I'm still not sure why that is okay. His family is there.
No.
Why do you not escalate? If the manager is problematic, let me just finish the point, Zukile.
Yes.
You've got a lot of time. I will give you time. If the manager is problematic, as you are saying, was blue-ticking students, was not responding to their issues, you would know their channels to go and escalate that. Why didn't they do that?
Yes, ma'am. You see, usually in environment of higher education, probably in most universities, rent managers get to be invited to be able to reside within the campus premises. So
the real reason for having a manager, health manager to reside in an on-campus premises is for whenever students have grievances, they are nearby the health manager and they can go and engage the health manager based on those grievances that they have. The health manager did not like stay outside of the university. It was staying within the premises of the university. The reason why you have health managers staying in premises of the university is to ensure that in a case of an emergency, in a case of whether there's a matter that needs to be raised with immediate effect, students can be able to directly interact with the health manager. It is what those students directly did. They were just directly.
Why did they go with? Why did they hide their faces if they were going so peacefully?
Listen.
No, Zukile. Let's speak nicely to one another. Just be careful, because okay. I'm asking you a question that is very reasonable. Please watch your tone with me. Thank you.
Okay. No, when usually students are engaging probably in such environment, and then you have probably news media and coming around.
Mm-hmm.
University tend to identify students as individuals and get to charge them based on reasons that are not there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why students need to protect their identity. But when they were marching to the arrest manager,
mm-hmm.
before the incident of the car, before anything happened, no paraclavers were there. Students came there showing their faces so that the manager can be able to recognize the student because they are residing in the residence in which he's managing. There were no paraclavers. Paraclavers came to be there to extend after the incident because the university will identify students one by one if they see your face. Students were just doing what's right for them, protecting themselves from the university because the university will identify them, take them to an unnecessary disciplinary process and get to exclude students. So students only won paraclavers after cameras came in so that they cannot be identified by the university. I'm not sure if that's answered you that one through it.
One person has died. Two other students, I believe, are in hospital. We are told that the resident manager's wife is also injured. You are denying that. Again, I'm asking, couldn't there have been another way to address the grievances of the students? Why didn't they escalate the matter the way in which you would escalate a matter if a particular manager is not doing their job?
Yes. I'm not sure if you have heard me well. There was nothing wrong in how students escalated the matter. I have stated it before to say that if you have a res manager in which they are managing in a certain residence, they get to sit within the premises of the university. They get to be nearby the students. The reason of having that is that students can go and directly interact.
But Zukile, you're not answering my question. I'll tell you why.
No,
just listen to what I'm asking you. You've told me what they've done. I know what they've done. I'm asking you, if someone blue ticks you, which is what you're telling me they were doing, they were dissatisfied before the day when this incident happened. Already they were dissatisfied with him. And you're saying he was blue ticking them. I get that and I appreciate that. And I'm saying to you, when a manager is incompetent, you would know there would be other channels to escalate the matter. I'm not asking you what they did. I'm asking you, why didn't they escalate the matter? Because we are here now with someone dead. It couldn't be right because someone died.
Yes, it is extremely wrong if someone died. But I'm saying that the students have exercised all managers, all relevant protocols.
Okay, so what did they do beyond speaking to the manager? What did they exercise? What other mechanisms did they use to escalate the matter?
Yes, they escalated the matter to the proper student representative council to try and engage on the matter. They further escalated the matter to university management, but there was zero comeback. Because you need to understand that in universities, you have 200% council who get to be the SRC. They also escalated the matter to the SRC.
Mm.
The SRC escalated the matter further, but there was zero response. The students had to take matters and say, how about we speak to the other manager ourselves so that you can get to understand why are you doing this to us? Why are you putting us? When did take all relevant matters, it did speak to SRC, it also did speak to management, but there was no response to what is happening with the current in the residence. So students were just engaging with the health manager.
So going forward, what's the plan?
So what's the plan is that FALCO wants to probably engage
with the Department of Higher Education and Learning of saying that we want to have a solid plan in this accreditation process. Because what we understand, it just to be one of the reasons saying that why you are in this scenario, that we have residences which are currently accredited but not fit a proper accreditation of allowing students to excel academically. What we are also going to do as far as we are going to collaborate with relevant stakeholders and also speak with law enforcement and saying that to ensure that the perpetrator gets to be arrested and must be faced, must be able to be given a chance to face the law and be given a chance. So SWASCO, we are still going to engage with management and saying that how can we best create a peaceful and a safe environment for students of Walter Sisulu, which is part of the engagement that we have started in. But what we are saying is that the enforcement must be able to do their job and ensuring that the road manager is arrested, we engage on proper safe environment of ensuring that students can create a living and a learning good aspect. That's to be the plan.
Mr. Ntozia, thank you so much for making time for us this evening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Zuki Lentozia is an Eastern Cape provincial convener of SASCO.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.